You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
After long and hard efforts to implement predator eradication tactics, predator-free Wellington has seen some major results. Bird rates have risen dramatically, up by 51% across Metamar Peninsula. The organisation has been celebrating this strongly, so I spoke to their own James Wilcox about the new results. I first asked him to detail the different changes that they have seen in Metamar Peninsula.
Yeah, so we've just got our last 5-minute bird count data, and we've been tracing that over the 4 years since before we started the project, and we're seeing a 51% increase in native birds, you know, right across the board. And then looking at some of the individual species, things like pea waka waka, our little fantail has gone up by 575%. And Little Little, our grey warbler, by over 200%. So it's pretty epic, man, what we're seeing.
How long has the process of clearing out predators from Metamar Peninsula been? How long has the process of clearing out predators from Metamar Peninsula taken place for? And what has it been like?
Yeah, we've been going for about 2 years now, and that's the whole, you know, beforehand, the whole process of getting the community behind us. You know, we needed to get over 3,000 individual permissions because we're going into people's homes, into schools and businesses, so we've needed to build that trust. And then 2 years of on-the-ground servicing, and what that looks like for us is over 11,000 different traps and bait stations continuously going back and making sure that they're all ready to go, and then literally kind of hunting, tracking down the last animals so we can get to zero. So our teams are crawling all over every part of the peninsula. We're backed up by a fantastic group of volunteers and, you know, of course, the population out there of everyday Wellingtonians, because we can't do the work that we need to do without their permission, without them sharing their intelligence with us, what they're seeing and that sort of stuff. So it's a massive movement. It's a lot of hard work, but to get this payback in terms of the native species flourishing out there, it's the ultimate reward for the collective action.
How does Metamar and Ponake as a whole benefit from these rising bird rates?
Oh, it's so multifaceted. I mean, there's the ecological outcome space. So, you know, it's not widely known, but New Zealand is pretty close to the top of the list in terms of having the most endangered and threatened species. So, you know, we're trying to reverse the tide, and Wellington, Te Whanganui o Tara, is one of the few places in the world where native biodiversity, native species are actually increasing. So that's amazing. And really the roots of this project is around saying we're not going to accept biodiversity decline. We're going to do something about it and try and pass on an environment to the next generation that isn't half trashed. So there's that aspect. And then there's the whole social outcome space around creating community resilience, you know, bringing people together, having them combine to achieve a shared vision. And we just couldn't do that without the thousands of people that are giving up their time, whether it's going and checking traps out there on the weekends or letting us know if native species are turning up, or sometimes they might send in their security camera footage or all of those sorts of things. So the real social movement behind this is massive, and the fact that we are working in every facet of society, you know, eradication or permanent removal of species, you're needing to get a lethal device, a trap or a bait station in the home range of every single target animal. So the ability for us to build relationships, you know, people not get a knock on the door from one of our staff members and we're going into their home. Sometimes that might be the only connection that person has with other individuals over a week. So the power in building those relationships in that space of community connectivity is really huge. And the other side of the thing is in the economic space, you know, we are becoming known as a genuine wildlife destination. Of course, we've got the mothership, Zealandia, in the middle of the city, and all of these amazing native species flowing out of that. So really, we're providing safe passage for them. And I guess there's the nuisance factor as well. You know, rats in particular will chew through wiring or chew through pipes. They're capable of spreading some pretty nasty diseases to humans. So it's all of these multifaceted benefits which we're seeing, which just makes it so amazing.
So what are the next steps that you're planning on taking to reach predator-free 2050?
Yeah, so the next steps for us involve stepping out from Miramar, essentially. So, you know, we have had no evidence of mustelids, of stoats and weasels for over a year, no evidence of Norway rats for over a year, and tracking down these last ship rats. And when we're done with that, then we move on into the kind of the CBD, I guess, move and take another chunk of the city space, and then we keep expanding out until we hit the border, northernmost border of the city with Porirua. So our total project area is 30,000 hectares, and really our learning, you know, feeds into the national picture. Predator Free Wellington was really set up to see, can we do this? Can we achieve zero density of these introduced predators in the urban environment? And of course, other projects are focusing on forested landscapes and the rural environment. So we've got to feed that learning into the national picture as well. And that collective knowledge is what will help us get to that PF 2050 goal for the whole of Aotearoa.
Are there any changes that you're looking to make in your future efforts of eradicating predators?
Oh, look, 100%. When I reflect back on where we started, you know, we kind of inherited the plans for a bicycle and we're expected to turn that into a jet engine. You know, I mean, people just hadn't worked in this space before in terms of a multi-species eradication in the urban environment. So the learning for us has been absolutely huge, and principally around that is the opportunity that people present. You know, if we're successful in switching on the 212,000 sets of eyes and ears that live in the city in terms of the population, and it becomes meaningful for them, then we've got the most responsive detection network that's out there. So we're really relying on that. You know, it has to belong to the people. You know, we don't want to be around forever. We want to get this job done and then hand it back to the people of the city. So that's one aspect. The other thing is really learning about rat behaviour in the urban environment and things like habitat. And so we've done some really cool research with tracking rats in this environment to figure out how far do they move, you know, and how can we track them down. And that's quite different to what the knowledge was when we started. So all of these kind of learnings from the get-go, and it's sort of reflecting on our journey, it's like looking back at a newborn baby, and now I'm sort of feeling like a grizzled old campaigner.
That was Predator Free Wellington's James Wilcox on rising bird rates in Minima Peninsula.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.